Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Kinnear, Community Relations Manager for Way Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for joining us today and Happy New Year. We are in 2025. And on today's show, my guest is Brant Adamniak, and he is a certified registered nurse practitioner in our physician specialty office, specializing in pulmonary care, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And also sleep medicine.
And sleep medicine, right? Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, Brant, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks. Thank you for asking me to be on the show.
Yeah. So before, you know, we begin, you know, we are going to talk about COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which again is one of the conditions that you do see in pulmonology. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a certified registered nurse practitioner, correct?
Yes. So I've been a nurse practitioner since 2011. I graduated from the University of Scranton. And prior to that, did some registered nurse work at CMC and got my RN from Wilkes University. Once I graduated from nurse practitioner school, I spent some years in family practice and then started to branch out. Went into occupational health, and we did a lot of lung screening, pulmonary testing in occupational health setting, and that's kind of what got me into the pulmonary world.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent 5 years at Geisinger through the COVID epidemic, so that was a roller coaster ride. And I've been here at Wayne Memorial in the pulmonary department for about 1 year now.
Great, great. Well, we are so happy to have you on board. So again, you know, you do probably work with a lot of people with different pulmonary diseases, but today I really would like to talk about COPD or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Can you tell our listeners what COPD is?
Yeah, so COPD is probably what I see the most of on a weekly basis. And what it is sometimes can be debatable. Sometimes people think if they smoke and they're short of breath, they have COPD. And they're labeled with that label just because they smoke and they have some shortness of breath. But it's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it includes long-term respiratory symptoms, including shortness of breath, cough. You could have sputum production and phlegm that you bring up, and this is all secondary to abnormal airways. The abnormal airways include obstruction that occurs in the airways, and this makes it hard for the patient to move air. It could make them hard to clear their airway of secretions and phlegm, causing cough. Other things that occur is tissue damage. And the most common cause, as most people know, is cigarette smoking. It could be you smoking the cigarette. It could be secondhand smoke, but it could also be environmental, chemicals, fumes, wood, coal stoves. I've had people live near landfills or dusty industrial environments, and that could also cause some damage to the tissue of the lungs.
Wow. So, and you know, you hear a lot about, you know, I mean, the term that I've heard is, yes, COPD, but, you know, other older terms was like emphysema or things like that. Is there a difference?
Yeah. So the emphysema, that's more of damage to the lung tissue, and it can be progressive. With emphysema, we see damage to there are grape-like structures in the lung called alveoli, and with emphysema, the alveoli become hyperinflated and damaged. So this can make it difficult to move air, and this could cause small holes in the lung that eventually collapse and can cause larger holes in the lung, dead tissue. Sometimes if these holes get big enough, we call them a bulla, and you could have a bulla in the lung, bullous emphysema. So emphysema long story short, is damage to the tissue of the lungs, making it hard to move air through the lungs. And that's the lungs' job, is for the tissue to exchange, carbon dioxide and oxygen exchange occurs there. And this becomes difficult when there's emphysema and dead tissue that can't complete this process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just listening to you, everything sounds just so complicated, and I'm sure it is. And so when someone may have COPD, there is a way to diagnose them, correct?
There is, yes. There's several ways to diagnose it. We start with the history. Do you have shortness of breath? Do you have wheezing? Do you have cough? Is your cough productive? Are you bringing up phlegm? How long have you had the cough? So those are symptoms that we use to help diagnose the COPD. Your history, you know, again, the smoking history, exposures, we dive into that. And then we do get into the testing. Probably our gold standard is the pulmonary function test, where you go in with a respiratory therapist, and pretty much they have you breathe in, blow out repeatedly, and measure how well you move air. What we look for on that test is obstruction, because COPD is an obstructive lung disease. We could quantify the degree of COPD or consistencies on the test that you have with COPD based on the numbers that we get. Mm-hmm. One of the important things that we look for on that test is your forced expiratory volume, and that's how well you move air in that first second of you blowing air out. We're able to make a prediction of what's normal for you, for your demographic, and normal is for you to get to 80% of what's normal.
Mm-hmm.
So some people that are 70 to 80%, we could say you're in the mild category. 50 to 70% is a moderate degree of obstruction. 30 to 50 is severe, and then 30% and under, you would fall into the very severe category of COPD. So the pulmonary function test is really useful to help us determine the degree of COPD that you have, and also helps determine in how we're going to treat your COPD.
Right, which again is so important. And again, that testing, that pulmonary test, can be done here at Wayne Memorial Hospital as well, with a physician order, right? Like, or, you know,
yep,
you could write that order when you see your patients,
yeah,
correct?
Patient comes in, and we write the order, and then they're set up with our respiratory therapist, and it takes about 40-45 minutes, and pretty much we don't go poking and probing you with anything, but you do need to put in good effort and deep breathe and blow out. So we do need some good effort from you as the airflow is being measured.
Right, right. And, you know, of course, we live in Northeast PA, right? And yes, we are in our winter months. When you have patients with COPD, do you instruct them on special precautions to take during cold weather months? Do you provide any guidelines or recommendations for them?
Yes. So the cold months can be tricky. Oftentimes, viral illnesses can pick up. Kids are in school, holidays are around, we're seeing families. So first off is common sense. You know, if all four of the kids are sick, it might not be the best idea to go visit the entire family on Christmas. And then your other simple common sense, make sure you're washing your hands. Getting vaccinated is very important heading into the winter months. Flu vaccine, RSV vaccine's out now, making sure you're up to date with your pneumonia vaccine, because picking up any of those viral illnesses can cause an exacerbation of COPD. So you want to be protected as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Going out in the cold can cause constriction, bronchoconstriction of the airway. So there are ways to try to help prevent that. One thing we often do when we give our COPD patients an inhaler is a rescue inhaler. This is albuterol, Ventolin, Proventil. And if you know the cold bothers you, you could use the rescue inhaler 5 to 10 minutes before you go outside in the cold, and that can help. Other things that can help is to make sure your face is covered with a simple scarf, a gaiter neck, a mask, just to try to put some barrier between that cold air and your mouth, throat, and airway.
Right, which again is so important for people who have COPD. Mm-hmm. And even asthma, when I go out, I'm very careful, especially in the really cold weather, with things like that. How often do you need to see patients with COPD?
So that really depends. It's patient specific. So it depends from your stable COPD patients to your patients that are unstable. You know, I have some patients that are on a maintenance inhaler. They have mild COPD. They use their maintenance inhaler every day. They don't get sick often. They're not in urgent care frequently. They're not in the hospital frequently. So that kind of patient I would probably see every 6 months. And you get to the other end of the spectrum. You could have a patient that's, they're maxed out on their inhalers, they're using oxygen, they're having flare-ups, they're ending up in the ER, admitted to the hospital, going to urgent care, using steroids or antibiotics frequently. That means they're uncontrolled, so you want to keep a closer eye on that patient. I sometimes bring them in every month, every 2 months, check up on the phone with them every week or 2 weeks, depending on how sick they are. So it really depends on how many flare-ups they're having and their history and the pattern.
And you mentioned flare-ups and stuff like that, but I'm sure, it sounds like, yes, you work very closely with your patients to really help them and minimize those flare-ups and, acute situations, correct?
Yes, our goal, one of our goals is to keep patients out of the hospital from being admitted. So we educate them on the first sign of things going south. If they have a change from their baseline, increased sputum production, increased shortness of breath, they start bringing up copious amounts of sputum, which isn't normal for them. We like to know about that as soon as possible because they might need a steroid or antibiotic. Sometimes we call that a rescue kit, and that's to try to keep them out of the hospital.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Wayne Memorial Hospital also has what we call a pulmonary rehab department, right? And
yes.
So that, what, does that help patients with exercises for better breathing and things like that, correct?
Yes. So you can, to qualify, you do need to have a COPD, moderate, severe, very severe COPD. And then once we know you are qualified, we could give you an order, and you will meet with the team, which includes a respiratory therapist, physical therapy, and a registered dietitian. And they will come up with a plan that's specific and best for you and your needs. And yes, they educate you on how to breathe, exercises you can do. To strengthen your diaphragm, the muscles around the lungs, how to relax if you start to get anxious with a breathing attack. And this is all done with you being monitored. They keep an eye on your oxygen levels. And you can be covered with your insurance for up to 36 sessions. Usually it requires 3 days a week. And then once you're done with the program, you can come back, but you're also empowered with knowing these breathing techniques to use at home or even at your personal gym in the future.
Right, which is, again, so great that you have all of these treatments, I guess, and assistance in place for the patients here. We have about like maybe 1.5 minutes left. You also mentioned you see patients for sleep disorders. Is that... how does that fall under pulmonary medicine? And I'm sure that's much longer answer than we really have left.
Yeah, sleep apnea and sleep disorders can be an entity of its own. But there is some crossover. A lot of people with bronchitis, asthma, COPD have some ventilation issues in their lung. So obstructive sleep apnea, there can also be some problems with ventilation in the lung. So... We want to take pressure off the lungs, off the heart. So people with untreated sleep apnea are having pressure on their heart and on their lungs. So if we can fix that by controlling their sleep apnea. Oftentimes you'll see their COPD, their asthma, their shortness of breath, their symptoms improve. So we don't ignore sleep apnea in the pulmonary world, because there is a crossover.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, Brent, I can't believe we're like just about at 15 minutes. I want to thank you so much for joining the show today. Is there a phone number that they can call if they, you know, if they need to see a pulmonologist?
Yes, sure. You could call our office number. And the number is 570-253-8601.
Great. And oftentimes, though, do you get the referral from their primary care doctor, right, to come and see you? Is that the way it works?
Most times that's how it works. Sometimes it can come from other specialists that identify a breathing problem.
Okay. Yeah, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Great. So, Brent, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure being here.
Great. And again, this is Carol Knier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.